Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, my guest today writes this, rest is not for weaklings. Hollowing out space for rest is actually work. Finding time for rest is the hands and feet of the promises that we long to claim. It means saying no. It means having limits with ourselves. It means having limits with others. It takes courage to rest in the midst of an outcome-driven society. It takes strength to walk away from good in pursuit of the better. Healing occurs when we allow ourselves the time, space, and grace to be in the presence of God in the middle of our busy lives. I'm so excited about today's conversation. Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith joins me today to talk about her important book. We've talked about it before, but I want to say it's been at least a year. And this is something I feel like we should revisit at least once a year, if not more. Her book is titled Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. And this is a best-selling book. We've got four copies of this beautiful hardcover book, and the producers are commenting how gorgeous the cover was and even how much more wonderful the content within the cover is. So love to get a copy in your hands. I pray that they land in exactly the right hands at the right time. If you want in on the drawing, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Quick announcement, though. If you're traveling this season, we want to go with you wherever you're going. Going to the cabin, going on vacation somewhere else, take us with you. How do you do that? You download our very free Faith Radio app. It's amazing. You can live stream our live shows from anywhere. You can catch podcasts after the fact. You can read our blog posts. You can be involved with the live shows from anywhere in the world. Just go to the App Store, search Faith Radio Network. We'd love it. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith is board-certified internal medicine physician. She's a speaker and an award-winning author. She's an international well-being thought leader featured in numerous major media outlets. She's the author of numerous books, including her bestseller, Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity, which we're talking about today. Dr. Sandra, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to the conversation, but we'd love to start by making it personal. What's the Lord been talking to you about these days?
Well, the number one thing I think that God's really been focusing me on, and it's a portion of scripture that I've stayed in for most of this year, has been from 1 Samuel 30. And most of you probably know it. It's the story where it talks about David returning to Ziklag and all that happened following that. And really the part that God continues to impress upon me is, despite all the struggle and the difficulty and all the loss that occurred and that's mentioned in the first part of that scripture, at no point in time did David ever ask, you know, like, why God? Why is this happening? It's more specifically focused on the discussion with God is inquiring of next steps. And for me, that's been really a big issue this year. I began this year with my father dying unexpectedly. And a part of me spent a lot of time with the why questions. And every time that I felt impressed to kind of go back and read that scripture, it reaffirms to me that we don't always get the answers to the whys in this lifetime, but we can always still go to God and inquire of what our next step is. After this has occurred, what's next for us?
Boy, that's such a good word. When we get to the break, we're going to reconnect with Sandra just to get a better connection. There's kind of a garbled sound we're getting and a delay too. So hang with us. We've got a few more minutes before our break and we'll reconnect. But at the book, you know, some of these questions I'm asking you, I asked you last time, but again, it was such a long time ago and there's so much good content. So we'll just dig in here. But you write about a patient who came to see you with a certain list of symptoms. But when you told her she was healthy, she actually got angry with you. Tell us that story.
Yes. I recall, you know, as an internal medicine physician, when people come into my practice, they're coming because they think that there is something specific that medically is wrong with them. And so she was exhausted. She had her entire list of complaints, all the different things that she wanted to have me address. And, you know, I recall going through the motions and checking, you know, obviously I don't know if her thyroid's destroyed or if she has some type of adrenal problem or diabetes. So tested all of these things. And after getting the results back, having her back in the office and sitting her down and just really having to have the conversation with her that I don't see anything wrong with you. I don't see anything medically that's wrong with you. It wasn't that I didn't believe she was exhausted, because by this point in time, I'd already worked through kind of my own journey with this. And I understood the seven types of rest and how we can be exhausted in ways other than just physically exhausted. But that was not something she'd ever heard of. And so you can imagine it, you know, it's very frustrating when you know you're exhausted and then a medical professional's telling you, I don't see anything wrong with you.
I think it's, you know, when you get to that place of such exhaustion, and it might be mental, social, you know, technical, whatever, technology, whatever your form of exhaustion is, it's almost like you want a quick fix because you didn't get there overnight, but you want to get out of it overnight. And so it's frustrating because then you realize that means I've got more work to do, but it's a different kind of work, isn't it?
It really is, because, you know, if the quick fixes that we want, you know, unfortunately with rest is not sometimes as easy as we would like for it to be. It requires us to start prioritizing and start looking at how we're spending our energy and what we're doing throughout the day. Because I find that that's the issue with a lot of us. We are using a lot of energy in different areas of our lives, but we haven't taken into account how we replete and replenish the places that we're draining. So we continue to drain places with no system really in place for the restoration of them.
I want to look at some of these symptoms of a chronic rest deficit. That sounds like what this patient had was this chronic rest deficit. You outline these in your book. Maybe, friends, as you listen, you see if any of these apply to you. Wake up feeling unrested, difficulty concentrating, emotions easily affected by others' actions, headaches, muscle aches, generalized fatigue, strained relationships, lost sense of expectancy and adventure, depending on quick energy fixes, crave comfort items at night like ice cream or wine, feel like life is out of control. And I've been thinking of like the quick energy fixes, how easy it is to get on that vicious cycle of these drinks that are so much caffeine that they jolt your system and are so stressful, and then take something at night to try to bring it back down again. How does that impact our physiology?
Well, our bodies are programmed to want to be able to wind down and go to sleep at night. But unfortunately, most of us do have a physical and physiological response to caffeine and to sugar. And so that between 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock lull that a lot of people experience, you know, when we head out to try to get that last frozen coffee, whatever concoction is, or we try to eat something sweet to rev that back up, we're not aware that some of those chemicals that we're consuming do not have a very short half-life, that they remain with us well into the hours that we're supposed to be winding down. So then we wonder, you know, why can't I turn off my brain? It's time to go to sleep. And sometimes that's because you're still under the effects of the caffeine from the coffee drink or from the chocolate that you had around 3 or 5 o'clock. So it's all interconnected. I don't like people to think that I'm downing coffee. I think everything in moderation has its place for most of these things, but we do need to be aware of how it affects us and the effect that it has on our ability to get high quality sleep.
You know, sometimes when you have that lull in the afternoon, I mean, if you're able to process vitamin B, there are vitamin B supplements, you know, that you could take, or go for a walk if you're able to get some kind of exercise just to boost yourself that way. I mean, what do you think of that? Or do you have other ideas for those who kind of hit that afternoon lull without it impacting their nighttime rhythm of entering into the phase of rest?
Absolutely. That's really where the bulk of the whole concept of those seven types of rest comes from. You mentioned taking an afternoon walk. That's a form of physical rest. If you're going outside and you're enjoying the scenery and the sunshine and the flowers, that's a form of creative rest. You know, for some people, they may specifically need to, if the reason they're feeling that drained feeling is because of the people they've dealt with, they're having a social rest deficit because they are expending a lot of social energy, then maybe what they need during that 3 o'clock hour is just a moment with a friend, you know, to have a quick WhatsApp chat with a friend, just to be reminded that there are people who want to pour back into you. So lots of different ways to attack that. But I think we need to get out of the habit, assuming that that feeling of fatigue and loss of energy that we have around that time frame, that it's solely a physical issue.
Boy, that's so good. So when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the rest solutions that don't work. They may surprise you. Vacations, even though vacations are important, Sandra will talk about why vacations aren't the ultimate end all be all to, they're not the solution to your rest. If you're operating under a rest deficit, downsizing, medications, sleep marathons, multitasking, but because there are different kinds of tired, there's different solutions for the kind of rest you need. She says, not all rest is created equal. The most effective rest occurs when we are purposely reviving the part of our life we regularly deplete. Think about that. The most effective rest occurs when we're purposely reviving the parts of our life that we regularly deplete. Any so-called rest that does not meet this goal isn't rest. It's just more work adding to the busyness. Talking to Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith about her book, Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. We've got a handful of copies to give away. It's a great book. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Amen. Calvary covers it all. You have nothing to prove. You have eternity to live for. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. If you're tired, weary, come to me and I will teach you the rhythm of life. That's my paraphrase of Jesus' invitation. Talking to Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith. She's a medical doctor internist and she wrote the book, Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. Sandra Rosella writes in and says, from the amazingly effective anti-jet lag diet developed by Argonne Energy Labs. I don't know about that, so I'm not endorsing. I'm just reading the text here. But she says, protein tells your body to wake up. Complex carbohydrates help you to sleep. It's much healthier than using caffeine. What do you say?
Well, as far as caffeine's concerned, I think anything that limits caffeine is good for most people. I think most of us probably are not getting enough healthy carbohydrates. So I do feel like carbohydrates are helpful. However, not the sugary ones necessarily. I don't think we need more white flour, white sugars. But healthy carbohydrates, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All righty. And for those who have low blood sugar issues, I will say, just happen to know this from experience and the doctors we've had on, you know, because she's saying here protein tells your body to wake up. I'm sure too much protein may do that. But for those whose blood sugar drops, they actually advise a little bit of protein and a little bit of roughage like apples or something, complex carbs together to level the blood sugar throughout the night. So just a little thing there. I don't know if you want to comment on that as well, but.
Yeah, as an internist, you know, I treat a lot of patients who have diabetes or on the other side of that, who have lower blood sugars. Both of them deal with needing to manage their blood sugar levels. I tend to recommend diets that allow for moderate protein and moderate healthy carbohydrates. As I mentioned, things that are going to be a lower glycemic level and that's going to stay in the bloodstream a little bit longer.
Very good. All right. So some of the rest solutions that don't work. Here's one. Vacations. You said vacations are great opportunities to experience new things and explore new places, but they often fail to pour back into our restless lives to the degree needed to resuscitate them. That's really big because, you know, sometimes we will have the pedal to the metal all year long, and then we put all this hope in that week away, and it rarely accomplishes what we hope. And then we come home more tired than ever, probably because we were hoping for more than what that vacation could accomplish. But say more if you would.
Absolutely. I think, you know, too often we use our vacations as our burnout prevention strategy. And, you know, unfortunately, that's the most ineffective burnout prevention you can have because you're not on vacation very often. A burnout prevention strategy has to be something that's sustainable, something that you're able to do throughout the year, not just 3-4 times a year. And for many of us, when we do take those weeks or days away, what we're doing during that time is trying to fit in all the fun stuff we don't feel like we have time to do when we're within our normal day. So you're not actually pouring back into a place that's depleted. You're usually continuing to deplete yourself because you're physically staying out later or longer or being more active, doing activities that you don't normally do. And you're further depleting. You're depleting in a help in a playful way, but you're not restoring the places that were already depleted. And I think that's why many of us, we return from vacations and we say things like, I need a vacation from my vacation because we're exhausted after that. We really didn't have a restorative time.
Okay, here's another one, downsizing. I thought this was very insightful. Downsizing your life without a restful plan for filling the gaps, listen, only opens the door for other enemies like laziness and apathy. So you shrink things down, you try to simplify your schedule, but you don't have a productive plan for a flourishing life. It opens the door for other enemies like laziness and apathy. Say more about that.
Yeah, a lot of the people that I work with within my medical practice are at that age where they're debating retiring or stepping away from careers and positions. And I see this over and over again. You know, they step away or they retire because they're tired. And they need a moment where they feel like they can do the things in their life that they you know, have always wanted to do. And too often what I find is they don't do anything. You know, they don't have a plan that's already in place for how they're going to effectively utilize their time so that they do feel like they're being purposeful and that they're staying in within their calling and within whatever it is they feel like they have left on earth to do. And so I think it's important that if you feel like, you know, God's calling you to step away from something or to downsize or retire, that you have inquired of God, as I mentioned with 1 Samuel 30, to see what are the next steps? What does this look like? So that you have a plan that's in place. And you can factor in your need for rest and restoration and for renewal in that plan, but you're not just saying, I'm just going to stop, and you know, that's going to make everything better.
Ah, so good. This is what you write about multitasking. We've covered multitasking on the show before because it is absolutely not what we think it's cracked up to be. Multitasking, you say, fatigues your mental resources. It splits your attention between activities and increases potential for errors, impairs your judgment, and reduces performance. Multitasking does not lead to more time for rest. Well-rested people do not exponentially multiply their activities. They divide and conquer. I love that. Do you want to say another word about it?
Yes. Instead of multitasking, I always recommend something called time blocking. And so, you know, you cannot split your brain and do 15 things at one time. No matter how well you think you can actually do that, you end up spending more time trying to kind of get back into the groove of whatever you're jumping around with. However, with time blocking, you can set aside blocks of time where you go into what we call deep work, or that more focused, attention-driven work where you stay dedicated to whatever that is you're trying to complete it, and then you can kind of shut your brain down from that particular process and move on to whatever the next job or role is. It prevents that brain fog that many of us get because our brain is kind of overly busy and processing and active, because that's what multitasking trains our brain to do. It trains it to jump, jump, jump from bits of information, and it really keeps us from being at a place of deep, focused thinking.
Which also, I would imagine, impacts the way how present you are with people. You know, I mean, where if your brain is trained to hop, jump lanes all the time. I mean, I've talked with people who've asked me a really deep soul searching question, you know, how is your son doing if he was walking through a hard time? I start to tell him and he's checking his phone. And I'm about to tell him a really deep, I remember this happened with this one person twice, a year apart, when different family members were walking through things. And he asked me, and I started to tell him, and right away he's scrolling through his phone. And I'm like, you know, I'm probably not going to tell you. But it is amazing how when you multitask, I think you show up in your relationships that way.
Yeah, I think you show up in every aspect of your life that way. Because what ends up happening is it's training you not to go deep. Not to go deep in relationships, not to go deep within your work, not to go deep within your faith, not to go deep within anything that you're placing your hands to. You're training that as long as I have my hand in it, that I'm engaged, but you're really not. You're not engaged. You just are kind of superficially staying in the process.
Wow, very good. Let's talk about one of the types of rest deficits. And friends, this is one of the things that she asks is to take inventory of yourself, to discern what kind of tired are you? Because the kind of tired that you are determines the kind of rest you need. Just got a few minutes before our bottom of the hour break, but one of the rest deficits is actually physical rest. And you said there are both passive and active forms of physical rest. If you use your body throughout the day, you need physical rest. Say more.
Yes, this one was huge for me personally because initially when I started looking at why was I so tired all the time, I thought I just was sleep deprived. And I know that's what the majority of the world thinks when they think I'm fatigued. I just need to get more sleep. However, there are seven different types of rest. There's multiple types of rest. And so when we put all of our eggs in that sleep basket, we omit every other type. But even within the physical type of rest, you have passive forms, which include sleeping and napping, but you also have active forms of physical rest, which are any activities that help restore the circulation and the lymphatic drainage and the flexibility to your body. So for someone who's sedentary and maybe they sit at their job all day or even if they're physically active at their job, like someone in construction, their body is getting drained and needs to have some form of active physical rest to help improve that circulation, lymphatic drainage, and flexibility. So that's where, as I mentioned with you, the taking a leisure walk, stretching, taking a moment to have a massage, or even something as simple as drinking enough water, which most of us don't do, to make sure that our physical bodies are being restored. Because I think that's the mindset shift most of us have to first make, is that rest is not simply about stopping. It's not just about cessation activities. It's the activities you do that restore places that have been depleted.
And that is what we want to hear. Friends, I want to know, where are you depleted? And maybe as we unpack some of these rest deficits, it'll make more sense. But maybe you're just socially depleted. You've been with people too much, or you're technologically depleted. You've been in front of a screen too much. Or maybe it's physical. One of the things I love what you say about the physical is it's even more personal than passive, like napping or sleeping, to active, getting active. You say we need to learn to speak our body's love language. If our muscles are tight, we need to stretch. If we deal with inflammation, we need to go for a walk and engage in light aerobic activity. As we get ready to pause here, it really does, to me, invite us to slow down, let the Holy Spirit lead, and really trust that as the Spirit of God is working in us, even our bodies tell us, if we pay attention, this isn't good for me right now. You know, I used to cycle hard and fast, and I loved it. But I learned that all the high cortisol output wasn't good for all the inflammation that I was dealing with. And as I started to slow down and do some strength work and stretching, it's just the output is much more kind to my body. I feel so different now that I've been listening to my body. So maybe start there. Ask the Lord, if I've been ignoring my body, what does my body need right now? And I would love to know if you already know, what kind of tired are you? Text me 877-933-2484. More with Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith in a moment. Thanks for tuning in to Sizzy Larson Live, talking to Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith. She's an internist, she's an MD, best-selling author, and she's really an expert on the idea of rest. And one of the questions she challenged us to ask ourselves and really discern is, what kind of tired are you? Because the kind of rest you need really is connected to the kind of depletion that you've experienced. And we were talking about physical rest. That's one of the rest deficits. And I love that you said, we confuse the exercise recommended for weight loss with the activities for promoting body peace. Exercise for weight loss is often a physical stressor to the body. It's a good form of stress, yet all stress needs a reprieve. So when we look at exercise, we tend to just check it off the list, but your body might need stretching, or your body might need a walk, you know, or maybe you're in high mental stress. Well, then a good intense workout would be exactly right for you. So physical rest. All right. We talked about that one. Now we're going to talk about mental rest. You write this: as important as it is to rest your body, it's equally important to quiet your mind from the ongoing influx of information it receives. Much like our social media news feeds, our mental background noise is often infused with negativity. Thoughts about the future are contaminated with anxiety. Thoughts about the past are tainted with regret. Thoughts about the present are spoiled with discontentment. And as you imagine that being your constant background noise, it's no wonder you might lose your peace or your joy or your sense of hope and expectancy. Talk more about mental rest.
Mental rest, you know, we started off talking a little bit about multitasking. Well, mental rest deficits oftentimes are what results out of a lifestyle that spends a lot of time multitasking. Because when you're jumping around from thought to thought and you're not allowing your headspace to ever clear out or to focus, this is a person who would lay down to go to sleep at night and they can't get their brain to shut up. They have busy brain, and or the person who has a hard time memorizing things or remembering something when they walk into a room. And so, you know, the one thing to keep in mind with mental rest is, first, is to kind of evaluate if that's you, if you're noticing those symptoms. And then after that, to start looking at ways to try to allow yourself to focus more clearly. So one of the ways that I recommend for my patients, particularly if they're having trouble clearing their mind at night, they lay down and they start thinking up, you know, all the ideas. They start going over their to-do list the next day in their head, then rather than trying to hold on to all of that information, to just have like a notepad or a post-it notes or something by the bedside where they can jot down some of that information. Just the process of kind of what we call brain dumping or releasing those thoughts onto something concrete like a piece of paper allows your mind to release it so that you're not then taking those thoughts into you throughout the night. Because unfortunately, if you're ruminating over information, your brain thinks that, oh, this is really important. You know, I need to hold on to this. And it'll hold on to that bit of information, even at the expense of you going into some of the deeper levels of sleep.
You know, some of the mental noise that you say, from which we need reprieve, would be self-critiquing, evaluating with an ongoing inner monologue. Thinking the same thoughts over and over as if stuck in an endless loop, reliving past events and rewriting your script with what you wish you would have said, dwelling in the what ifs and fearing the future. And you say that one way to create a mental sanctuary is to choose a characteristic of God to rest on each day, like love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. Let each characteristic be the mental place you return to throughout the day as you practice creating a mental sanctuary. I think that's awesome. Judy writes in, she says, I feel tired in my thinking. I feel like I'm always trying to capture every thought and think whatever's beautiful, whatever's true, etc. But it feels like I'm striving in that pursuit. It sounds like I'm getting an answer right here as you talk about mental rest. But what would you say to someone who's – my understanding, you're the expert here, is, but as the more that we practice right thinking and redemptive thinking, the more we form those neural pathways that make it almost more instinctive to go to those places because we – but it is work at first because you're almost going against a current.
That's exactly right. It is work at first, and I think that's one of the hurdles we have to kind of jump over, that it takes some work to rest well, that there are some steps that you have to take to be able to kind of clear some of those pathways. And so it sounds like she is moving in the right direction. She's trying to think of those things that are lovely and noble and those things that are going to keep her in a positive mindset. But the more you practice that, the easier it should become. And so, and part of that I recommend is automating some of that process. So rather than you always having to think up, so to speak, the scripture that you're wanting to kind of focus your mindset on, buy some artwork or put some of those little stencils on your wall at work or at home or wherever it is where you start being confronted with the negativity, so that you're not always having to kind of pull it up out of your thought processes, that it's actually in front of you, that you've placed the word in front of you, whatever that is that you need to be reminded of, so that you remove some of the extra work in that process.
That's fantastic. If you just surround yourself with beautiful works of art that display verses and that kind of convey peace and rest. I mean, that I will tell you, you know, water is just something for me, beaches, that kind of thing, sunrises and sunsets on the water. So throughout our house, I kind of have a nautical feel. I've got pictures of beaches. I've got little starfish next to my bath because every time I think water, my heart goes to rest, and I just need that. I run hard, I work hard, and it's amazing what it does for me. But just creating some kind of scenario that you know connects you to rest and replenishment, so powerful. So again, the question was, friends, what kind of tired are you? We've talked about physical tired, we've talked about mental fatigue, but let's talk about emotional. If you need emotional rest, you said you experience emotional rest when you no longer feel the need to perform or meet external expectations. When our emotional withdrawals exceed our emotional capacity, we will experience emotional fatigue. Emotional rest is a deposit back into our emotional account. So I want to talk about some of the signs that we may be suffering from an emotional rest deficit. You have a tendency to focus on your failures and flaws. Say a word about that.
Yeah, people with an emotional rest deficit oftentimes are people pleasers. They want everybody to like them. They want to make they like the affirmation. They don't like confrontation. They tend to have weaker personal boundaries. So if someone asks something of them, even if it completely goes against whatever they have planned, they will almost bend over backwards to try to make sure that there's not any confrontation and that they're able to kind of keep the emotional peace. And what ends up happening in that process is they take on all the emotional weight. They carry the labor of the emotions in that relationship rather than allowing themselves just to be very truthful and honest about what they're feeling, what they're needing, and what their own personal boundaries are. So for someone who struggles with that, you know, the very first thing is to understand that boundaries by definition are confrontational. You know, they have to be. That's the only way it can be a boundary. And so we have to get a little bit of a comfort level within our relationships that we understand that there has to be some level of boundaries and that we then have to be very truthful and forthcoming when with our yeses and our nos. I always say if you're giving a yes for reasons of either guilt, fear, or shame, you're ashamed because you're the only parent who's not going to be volunteering at whatever it is, or you feel guilt because you weren't there for whatever the basketball game was. If you're saying yes for those kind of reasons, that should really be a no, because it's a yes that's coming from an impure place. It's not a yes that's being given in truth.
So good. Another sign that you might be suffering from an emotional rest deficit is you experience self-doubt and insecurity, which prevents you from trying new things. Say more.
Yeah, I think God loves for us to try new things. I feel like he's always revealing, and he's so creative that he's wanting us to be able to enjoy the world around us. And that requires us being able to understand that even when we step out in faith and try something new, that we're not always going to succeed at it, but we still have the freedom to be able to do that. And I think a lot of us don't enjoy the freedom of trying new things because we stay in that place of kind of emotional smallness, that if I fail, then that means I'm a failure, where it doesn't. The two things don't go hand in hand. You can have an action occur, but you don't have to be the action. So even if you try something and fail, that doesn't then turn it into a noun and make you to have to identify with it.
Okay. The reason I'm hanging around this one, because I think a lot of people feel at the mercy of emotional fatigue, but that just is proving that they're, you know, it's boundaries. It's really self-talk. It's taking inventory of giving more weight to man's opinion than God's opinion. So the last point here is that a sign that you might be suffering from emotional rest deficit is you constantly compensate who you are with apologies or clarifications. You beat yourself up when you make the slightest mistake. If that person's listening today, which I believe they are, what advice would you give them in that regard?
Well, I think it starts with identity, really getting a clear identity of who you are in God. I think whenever our identity and our identity is constantly under attack. So let me start with that. You know, our identity, it's something that is constantly under attack. You're definitely not the only one. Believe me, this was the area that I struggled in the most. I was insecure. I was fearful. You know, 10 years ago, probably, God started speaking to me about, I want you to be, go speak to people and share messages about me. And I'm like, nope, what if they don't like what I'm wearing? You know, I don't know how to put on makeup like most women. I grew up without a mother. So it's like, I don't know how to do all of these things. I had all of these excuses, and all of them were rooted in fear, and all of them were rooted in insecurity. And one of the things that God really took me on a journey to learn that I would share with whoever is hearing this is that once you start focusing more on your identity in Him, you become less insecure because you understand that He has secured you in Himself, and you're not having to feel as if your worth is all wrapped up in your work. Because I really feel like that's what led me into my burnout and my fatigue, is because I felt like I wasn't worth anything unless I was working. And once I realized that my worth was tied up in Christ and in who He says that I am, and the identity that I have in Him, there is such a freedom to be able to try new things, meet new people, fail if necessary, but just be me.
Mm. Yeah, really, you can see where when you kind of push the boundary back a little bit to say, this is where you end and I begin, where you have a little bit of space to be who you are before the Lord, to go, that's just not my preference, or, I'm not going to do the things God's not asked me to do. Suddenly you start to feel that oxygen come back in your soul. And then you do have some courage and some bandwidth to try some new things, because your identity's not on the line. But it really, to get replenished from emotional rest deficit, would you say it's sort of one addressing one lie and one, self defeating tendency at a time?
Well, I think for a lot of people, it's identifying the root causes to why you have the emotional responses that you have. For example, with myself, why was I getting so fearful about being on stages or being in front of people or trying new things? Getting to some of the root causes of that. And that's why I put this under the emotional aspect of it. Sometimes that requires therapy. Sometimes that requires sitting down with a trusted friend, a counselor, a pastor, someone who you can share your feelings. Not necessarily sharing the, what I call emotional trauma dumping. You're sharing all the details and the gore, but you're sharing what that did inside of you, how it made you feel, how it's affecting your life, so that then you can get some clarity, as you mentioned, about what the next steps need to be.
All right, we're going to pause here. So we've talked physical, mental, emotional rest. Maybe your deficit is spiritual. And what are the signs that you might right now be experiencing a spiritual rest deficit? We'll talk about that in a moment. Talking to Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith about her book, Sacred Rest. It's a gorgeous hardcover book. Subtitle, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. And we will be back in a minute. Yes, thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live and having a fantastic conversation with Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith about her amazing best-selling book, Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. Got a handful of copies to give away today. I'm thrilled about it because I love this book. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. I've never heard an approach like this. We've talked to her a few times about this book because I think it's just so brilliant. You know, there's not a one-size-fits-all. If you're experiencing rest deficit, if you're experiencing fatigue, there's not a one-size-fits-all answer because, as Sandra says, it depends on what kind of tired you are. Are you mentally tired? Are you physically, are you emotionally tired? Do you need a disconnect from technology? And as she says, if you've got a physical job, like you're working construction all day and hard labor, then your kind of rest is not more exercise. You actually need some downtime. So it's super wise to discern what kind of tired you are. So we've talked physical, mental, emotional. Let's talk about some signs of a spiritual rest deficit, a couple of which you say are you feel hopeless, trapped, or defeated, and you feel distant from God. What does that look like to be have a spiritual rest deficit?
Yeah, I think anytime when we get in those situations where you feel like God's far away, We feel like he is not approachable, or we feel as if maybe that he's not answering or listening to us. That's a sign that that spiritual rest deficit is starting to take effect. For me, spiritual rest is more specifically related to that intimacy that we have with God, that feeling of relationship. And so whenever you're feeling that he's distant, then you know that that relationship really isn't in a healthy place.
All right. How about social rest deficit? What might that look like? Especially for introverts.
So that's a good point, because social rest is different depending on if you're an introvert or an extrovert. But it's the rest we experience when we are aware of how people pull on our social energy. So people tend to either negatively pull from our social energy, or they are life-giving and pouring back into us. And unfortunately, most of our key relationships, our spouses, our kids, co-workers, you know, family members, they're needing things from us. So they're negatively pulling from our social energy. They're not negative people. It's just the nature of the relationship. So it's important to then be aware of who are the people in your life that are pouring back into you. And, you know, for extroverts, they tend to like have a lot of people that they are around, and they gain energy from those relationships with a large number of people at the same time. Whereas introverts still need social rest. However, they tend to get it more on a one-to-one basis. Those kind of more deeper, more kind of introspective type conversations with people, and those types of relationships that they build.
That's such a good call, because, you know, if you are an introvert, you feel a little guilty for allowing, I mean, just because it feels like the social scene drains you so much quicker than an extrovert. You know, somebody texted and said, I love my 9-year-old daughter, but she said, I'm just mom tired. What would you say to her?
Oh, I get that one. So mom tired. Yes. So then it's the same process. Start looking at what's fatiguing you. I'll tell you this, with kids, depending on how active she is, if she has, you know, ADHD or any of those kind of things where she's just very hyperactive, maybe she's just being a child, you know, just hyperactive, then keep this in mind. A lot of mom fatigue is actually sensory rest deficit.
It's
because there's a lot of noise and activity that's going around. Some mom fatigue, if you have littles at home, you know, they're crawling up in your lap, the sensory overload is from touch. For some mom overload, the sensory deficit is coming from sound, because your teen's playing music or video games or whatever in the background. So I find that moms tend to have a lot of sensory rest deficits. And most of the time, they're not even aware that that sensory rest is a thing, and they haven't analyzed the sensory input in their environment. So go through your house, turn off the TV, the radio, the video, whatever they're not doing, but just have it on because they like having stuff on, and see if that doesn't start creating some of a change as well.
That is amazing. I've got a friend who has two biological kids. Then she had a couple, I think, of failed adoptions. Anyway, she had a long story, but now I think she's got 9 kids because she did foster care and then adopted a number of them. But she runs the most amazing house, such a mission-minded house. These kids love Jesus. They know they're loved. But she had, you know, when they were younger, had quiet time every day where it was like everything's turned off. You know, just go lie in your bed or lie on your mat or whatever, but we're just, everybody's going to be quiet. You can read a book, you can, you know, whatever, but it's just quiet time. And she said, it's just good for all of us. And I just thought the order of that was so great. And as I was thinking of this mom who said, I'm mom tired, and you'd think, you know, socially, because, you know, she's got littles pulling on her, but I didn't even think about sensory, you know, deficit. And so that's why you see these commercials of the mom going out into the car and putting up the window and putting her head back going, oh. What other people would maybe have a sensory rest deficit other than moms?
Yeah, really, anyone can have a sensory rest deficit. If you work in an office space and you're sitting by the elevator and you're hearing the ding ding, you're hearing that. If you're working from home and maybe it's not your kids, maybe it's your spouse that's playing, you know, TV or whatever in the background. You know, there's so many different ways that we experience with our senses, and to just kind of be aware. Also at nighttime, you know, I think unfortunately a lot of us, we wind down with TV or, you know, all the different social media that's on there. To just be aware that that can actually lead to some sensory rest deficits because of the excessive consumption of of media and just all the lights and the sounds and all the different things that come with using our electronics.
Okay, so we've talked physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, social, sensory. How about creative rest deficit?
Yes, you actually mentioned this one a little bit earlier on when you were talking about your home and having, you know, a nautical scene and having and how water affects you. Well, that's really what creative rest is. It's the rest we experience when we allow ourselves to appreciate beauty in whatever forms, whether that's natural beauty like the oceans and the flowers or the trees, or if it's man-made beauty like music or art or theater, and to be aware that there's a benefit in that. I think too often when we talk creative, we're thinking, oh, well, that's only for artists or musicians, but anyone who solves problems, which is most of us that have to solve problems within our day, you're using emotional energy. And so if you're a mom and you're having to solve problems with, you know, helping your kids with homeschool or figuring out what you're going to cook for dinner, or if you're someone whose job is focused around innovation and problem solving and thinking outside of the box, you're using creative energy, and it's important to have a mechanism in place to pour back into that area that can be depleted as well.
Wow. And Cecile writes in when I said, well, who else would deal with sensory rest deprivation? She said teachers. Oh, my goodness. Of course.
That's
teachers.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Wow. Yes. She says, I often take my lunch break in my quiet car to get strength for the remainder of the day. I love my job, but 5 years can take a lot out of me. God bless you. You are one of the superheroes today. And wow. I mean, you think of all of the output and all of, I mean, they have the social rest deprivation. They've got the sensory, you know, overload. Yeah, even emotionally, because schools, you know, kids right now, where things are at. God bless our teachers. My goodness. So do we tend to kind of bend towards one or two kind of predominantly, or do we, can we weave in and out of all of these at different times, depending on the season of life?
We do weave in and out of them depending on seasons, but usually there's one or two of the types of rest that you will be more prone to be deficient in, whether it deals with your personality or your career or just, as you mentioned, the season of life that you happen to be in at that time. There usually are one or two that you're constantly expending energy. So they're at higher risk for being depleted, especially if it's an area that you've never thought about. If you're a teacher and maybe you've never thought about how sensory input affects you, you may never have thought to go sit in your car. You just think, I need more sleep. And that's not going to solve that particular problem.
Why it's so important to discern what kind of tired you are. I love this in your chapter titled The Gift of Acceptance. It's so great. You are free to participate with God, free to live, free to move, and free to be. No longer confined to overperforming and overachieving, resting in the smallness and the greatness, possessing the boldness to fertilize where you desire abundant harvest. No longer pushing the limits, demanding your way, but participating in the delicate exchange between faith and action, working from a place of being acknowledged, affirmed, and approved. This is work under grace, work born from rest, of being intimately known and accepted. That is just so beautiful. That really is the invitation, isn't it?
It is. And I think that's a key point to kind of bring to mind, that rest is an invitation. You know, one of the scriptures God led me to this whole process was Isaiah 15, where it talks about, it would returning in rest, so you be saved, and quietness and trust shall be your strength, but you would have none of it. And I think that last part, you would have none of it, just exemplifies the fact that we each have to make a choice to enter into rest.
And friends, I pray we just leave you with that you would sense the invitation, because there surely is some area of your life where you're fatigued. If you're not depleted, you might be on your way there. So I pray the Lord would give you some kind of discernment to just know what kind of tired you are, so you know what kind of rest you need. And the thing you can really believe and trust is that God always provides these exit ramps in the middle of our work to lead us beside still waters. He's intent on restoring your soul. So may you move in the rhythm of grace, and you stay in the pace of grace, and let the Holy Spirit be out in front leading the way. And then listen to your body. Your body will tell you what you need. And Sandra, I pray you'll come back again. It's always such great conversation when you join us. Thanks for this really important work.
Thank you so much. It's always a joy to be with you.
So good. Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith. And again, her book is titled Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. We'll leave the drawing open for a little bit longer. Got a handful of copies to give away today. Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. And we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.